Thanks for tuning in to The Word for Life. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And we've been discussing a question today together, and that question is, who rules? And we've been looking at 1 Samuel 8 and this battle going on between Israel and God, how this is a transition point for the nation and how they were putting God aside and wanting a ruler who is a man instead of the true and living God. That they wanted to be like the world. They wanted to be like the other nations. And we see this controversy, this battle going back and forth, and how this displeased Samuel and how this displeased the Lord. And as we continue in the text, we see that when Israel gets what they want in a king, God uses that as the very judgment on their lives. And we need to be careful of that. Because we're tempted to be like the world in our families. We're tempted to be like the world in our churches. We're tempted to be like the world in our very own lives. And sometimes the worst thing that can happen is we get what we want. And it becomes the very judgment on our lives. So as a result of them wanting a king to be like the world, God sends Samuel to tell them, okay, if they want a king, warn them about what it's going to be like when they get a king. And then let's see what their response will be. So that's what we see in verses 10 through 18. In chapter 8, Samuel goes to the people and he starts describing what it's going to be like when they get the king that they want. And in verse 11 and 12, what it says is he's going to need an army. Well, where is he going to get the soldiers for this army? Well, he's going to take your children. In verse 13, it says that he's going to need servants, cooks, and people to take care of him. Where is he going to get these servants? He's going to take your daughters. In verse 14 and 15, it says that he was going to take some of your fields and some of your crops and some of your grain. In verse 16 through 17, he's going to take your servants. He's going to take your cattle, and he's going to put them to work for him. In verse 18, he sums it up and he says, and they will take your flocks. So in these verses, God sends Samuel as a mouthpiece of warning and says, look, you think it's going to be great to have a king, but he's going to lord over you. He's going to take your money, your family, your children, your servants, your cattle, your livestock, your grain. And I find this interesting. In verse 18, we see the result of what will happen. It's kind of a prophetic text. In verse 18, it says this, and when that happens, you will cry out in that day because of the king you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Samuel says, when this day comes to pass, and there will be a day where you will be so upset with the decision of the king that you have made, you will turn to God, but he will not hear you. He will not answer you. He's going to leave you to feel the weight of your sinful decision. And then we get some insight, and it's a horrible thing, verse 19. And I want you to hear the horror of this verse. So all that is laid before them, the suffering, the agony, the pain that will be brought by a king. But yet in verse 19, we read this, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey. The same issue they have had as a nation from the beginning, obeying the Lord. Do you see the horror in that? Proverbs 13:13 says, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. We're told throughout Scripture that if you listen and obey the things of God, that there is great reward and blessing for that. But anytime you choose to disobey and go your own way and do your own thing, there is always great pain, sorrow, and destruction. But yet that's what they choose. And the reason is found in verse 20. That we may also be like all the nations. And this truth that we see here is still true today of man. Man is determined to do what he wants until something horrible happens and there's nowhere else to turn except to God. The reason for their disobedience was that we may be like the other nations. Their desire was to be more secular than spiritual. Their desire was for more of the horizontal pleasures in this world than the vertical relationship they could have with God. They cared more about what they wanted than what God wanted. And the rest of verse 20 says why they wanted this earthly king, that our king may judge us and go out before us in our battles. Let me ask you this question. Who has fought for Israel up to this point? Who has gone into the battlefield and given them victories over places like Jericho and Ai and the Philistines right before this text? God has. God has fought for them. But yet what this communicates is that Israel no longer wanted the Lord. Sure, they wanted the victory. Yeah, they wanted God's blessing. They just didn't want God. That's a problem. And you know what? We do the same thing. Let's not be so quick to judge Israel here, because we find this same problem in our hearts today. We want joy. We want blessing. We want satisfaction. We want fulfillment. We want purpose and meaning and hope and life. But yet we often look in the wrong places for it, don't we? Psalm 37:4. These passages will be great reminders for us. The psalmist said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Where is our delight found? Is it in a position? Is it in a person? Is it in a thing? It's found in the Lord. Psalm 42, verse 1 through 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God, for the living God. Psalm 61, verse 3, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. What we see in the book of Psalms is that God is the all-satisfying object. He is the source of complete and unending pleasure. Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasures forevermore. All pleasure and joy is found in God himself. It's not found in something we can see in this world. It's not found in something that is temporal. It's found in someone that's eternal. That's why when we seek to live for the things of this world, when they crumble, we crumble. And Israel wanted to find an earthly king, one that was temporal instead of seeking the one who was eternal. And a harsh reality that we see in this text is sometimes the worst thing you can get is exactly what you want. Do you ever think about that? That actually something that my heart longs for and wants could be the very judgment God uses to correct me, to bring me back to him? Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. You see, the tragedy of this whole thing is that they believed that there was more power and blessing and joy and acceptance in an earthly king than a heavenly one. They took God off the throne and replaced him with what they wanted, which was a man. So we come back to this question, the question that we began with, and that question is, who rules? You see, unfortunately for many of us, we have taken God off the throne of our lives and replaced him with our own strength, with our own ideas, with our own philosophies, with our own morality, and with our own thinking. Because we know better than God. We know how to provide better for our families. We know how to parent better than the Lord's instruction. We know how to manage our money better than what the scripture says, and we know how to plan our future more than the God who knows our future. The creator of the universe, the one who holds it all together, is sitting on his throne. And you know what he's saying? Just let me rule. Take your hands off the wheel. Let me lead. Let me guide. Let me give you strength. So what's the solution? When you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we read verse 3, we see the solution to the problem was exactly what they did 20 to 25 years earlier. And it reads this, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away your foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths, and they served the Lord only." What was the solution then, and what is the solution now? It's repentance and obedience. They were to humble themselves, admit that they had gone wrong and went astray, confess their sin, and start living in obedience to the Lord. You know, this text echoes what James 4 talks about. James 4 describes what worldliness is, and worldliness is a selfish heart. It's the idea that I want what I want more than I want what God wants. And what are we to do when that happens? Well, he doesn't leave us hanging. In James chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "Remember this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Do you understand the power behind what we need to do if this is an issue for all of us? We aren't to be discouraged or defeated. We sin and we will continue to sin. But what's the solution for wanting what we want more than what God wants? It's confessing, repenting, humbling ourselves before the Lord, seeking him, seeing what the scripture says, matching our lives up with the scripture, doing the best that we can in obeying the ways of God. You see, because God resists the proud. He resists the ones who feel that they can do it on their own, the ones who know better. But yet he gives grace, something we all need, to the humble in heart, to the ones who admit that they can't be independent of God, they need to be dependent upon the Lord. Because he's called us to live a way that we can't without him. It was Paul who said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." So let me end with this question. Who rules? Do you live by your own philosophies, your own ideas, your own morality, your own thinking, and your own strength? Or do you seek the scriptures? Say, "Lord, teach me. Change my heart. Change my attitude. Change my ways. Lord, guide my steps." Because depending on who rules determines how you live your life. Thank you for listening this morning. Have a blessed day.